you're too loud. Okay, this work is done jointly with all the collaborators here, so Michael Jacobson and Renata Scheidler and Hugh Williams. So let me begin with the motivation and goal, and let me tell you about a little bit of background, and I'll focus on more theoretical parts of the Kafka work. So let me tell you what the Hasse theorem, function field version, and we're going to see the cubic function field, connection between cubic function fields with quadratic function fields to generate all the cubic function fields of the same discriminant. Kafka work and algorithm part, I'll just give you the idea for the algorithm. So motivation for this talk, for this work actually, Kafka method was first proposed by Daniel Shanks for number field case in his unpublished manuscript from the 1970s. And number field, he worked on the number field case, and his work is implemented by Fang, who is a former student of the Hugh Williams in his doctoral dissertation. So this project was proposed by Hugh Williams to us, who is one of our co-authors. So the goal of the project is finding an efficient method for generating all non-conjugate cubic fields of a given square-free discriminant by using the infrastructure of the dual real function field associated with the hyperelliptic field of the same discriminant. The reason why we call it here is a dual is there is a discriminant. We want to find generate all the cubic function fields of the given discriminant D, let's say, that we can think of the hyperelliptic field, which is joined by square root D, and then we can always find the corresponding real hyperelliptic function field, which is called the dual. So let me give you the details soon. So here is some notations. It's FQ, you know, it's a finite field of order Q. Q is a power of odd prime. And small k, through this talk, write the rational function field with the T transcendental element over finite field. And P sub infinity is the prime in infinity, or you could call it the infinite place, defined by the negative degree evaluation. Then hyperelliptic function field is defined by, we have a rational function field. We are joined by the root of this quadratic polynomial of this form, x squared is equal to d of t. We take the root of it, and then we are joined by that root. Then that field, the capital K, is called hyperelliptic function field. And d is a square-free polynomial. The genus of k is given by degree d minus 1 over 2, and we take the floor value. So if degree d is the odd value, then this inside value will be the genus. If degree d is even, then degree d minus 2 over 2 will be the genus. And the discriminant of this hyperelliptic function field will be capital D. So signature definition, so throughout this talk, I'm going to use this notation for the signature scheme. So I want to introduce this definition. Whenever we have algebraic extension of the rational function field, we can think of the we have a maximum order, or you could call maximum order is defined to be an integral closure of the polynomial ring in the algebraic extension. It is actually the Dedekind domain. Then every idea of the rational function field split in algebraic extension in a unique way up to the order of factors as a product of the prime ideas. Then this E1, these are the ramification indexes, and then we have a residue degree, or you could call it a relative degree, Fi. Then this tuple, 2s tuple of these EF, E1, F1, E2, F2, etc. So we're going to call it P signature because it's depending on P value. But in particular, if P is a place at infinity, we're going to just simply call P signature as just the signature of the algebraic extension. The hyperelliptic function field actually has two cases depending on how prime and infinity split. So the first case, degree D is even, and the leading coefficient, we're going to use this notation SGN, sine of D, the square in the finite field. In this case, what's happening is prime and infinity split to the two primes in this extension. Then in that case, in the annual, actually, Alice already talked about this case, the real imaginary. So the analogous situation to the number field case, so we call this case the real case. And otherwise, that means degree D is odd, or degree D is even, and the leading coefficient is a non-square, then what's happening is the prime at infinity, we have only one prime. So you could have inert case, or you could have a totally ramified. So in that case, we call the extension as imaginary. So more exactly speaking that, okay, so it's a degree D is odd, and we have a, for the signature scheme, E is a 2, we have a totally ramified case, F is 1. In this case, we have E is equal to 1, still unramified, but F is equal to 2, inert case. In this case, E, F. So this is a split, complete case. So in the real case, if epsilon is any fundamental unit of that extension, the capital K, then the degree, absolute value of the degree of that fundamental unit is actually regulator of that field. Okay, so there is a very interesting connection between a real or the real case and imaginary case for the function field case, even for the number field case. Let me tell you about the function field, and maybe I'll tell you a little bit more about the number field case. The polynomials D and D prime, I'm going to use D prime as a paired polynomial, and D prime is given by the N times D. What's N? N is any non-square in the finite field. Then these two polynomials, we're going to call it the dual discriminant. Then corresponding extensions, capital K and K prime, is given by small k of y prime. Y prime is actually root of the x squared is equal to d prime. And the other one we already defined as x squared. The root y is actually, we already defined it before. So k of joined by y. So y is the root of the polynomial x squared is equal to d. Then these two fields are actually very closely connected in terms of its L rank. What's L? So, we have these two fields. This is a quadratic extension. And you can think, we can take the composite term of these two fields. Then these two fields, composite term of this field has two generators, primitive alpha root of unity and y. And here L is any odd prime dividing q plus 1. So, but L does not divide q squared minus 1. So this primitive alpha root of unity actually doesn't belong to the finite field. So in this, so you could start with N, and you can find L. And this setting, in this setting, we can. Well, what's happening in terms of signature union rank? K, this K over K, this is one and two case. I didn't specify any definition here. But I can say, okay, if I assume degree of D is even. And its leading coefficient is square. So that case is actually that case is here. I actually switched the notation. Sorry about that. The k and k prime is actually switched here, but this should be alright for the rest of the talk. So k, if one, the important thing is if one has a signature 1, 1, 1, 1, that means it splits completely. And the other case is actually the inert case. You have only one prime exactly. So in union rank is actually plays a very important role. Then what's happening here in the Schroeder theorem is telling us about the, what's the relation between L rank of the ideal class group of K and K prime. Okay. In the previous stage, I switched to K and K prime, but I'm going to assume K is a real case, a split completely case, and K prime is an imaginary case. So P infinity actually inert. So we have only one prime up there. The union rank is 0, in this case, the union rank 1. Then what's happening in terms of the L rank of the ideal class group, we have this nice result, and R1 and R2 are always the same, or they just differ by 1. So we have exactly two possible cases. The first case is called non-escalatory case. So let's say R2 is given and R1 stays the same. R2 is given, R1 is just just one more rank. R1 is R2 plus 1, it's jumped by 1. So in that sense, Shank calls this case the escalatory case. This is a non-escalatory case. So in the latter case, well, we want to distinguish when this is exactly happening. So in one of my in some paper, I actually tried to figure out what's the necessary and sufficient condition. What I could figure out was one of the directions. If the second case happens, the regulator is always divisible by L. So equivalently, you can say if regulator is not divisible by L, then we always have the same rank case. But this is one direction. The other direction, I actually couldn't prove it. Basically, original and Schultze theory was for the number field case. Number field case only works for the three rank because of this Jeter L. So there, you need what you're going to do is you're going to join the primitive cube root of unity. So in the number field case, you are comparing rational field of Q of square root of D. D is a square free integer. Let's say you could start with a positive or a negative, doesn't matter. Then you alternate D prime, D by multiplying by negative 3. Then you have a square root of negative, square root of minus 3 times D. Then you can compare the three rank of the ideal classical root of this Q root of D and Q root of square root of minus 3D. You have exactly the same relation. So that was the motivation, and then I actually worked on the function field case. And even the Schultze theorem for the number field case was for the quadratic case, but for more higher extension case done by the Leopold, which is called the reflection theorem. Actually, German word is like Spiegelungssatz. Yeah, there we go. So, I also proved that it also works for the function field case, the Spiegelungssatz higher extension case. So we're going to use this, this is Schultze theorem result for our Kufke work. Okay, now, I want to tell you a little bit more about the ideal classes of this quadratic case. Polynomials, non-zero polynomials, and D prime is square free, then we have certain equation. The reason why I call it the Noom equation, this looks like the form of Thiessen, but the lambda, if I define lambda as A plus B Y prime, if I take the Noom of this lambda, then this is the right hand side, A plus B Y prime, times A minus B Y prime, but Y prime squared is equal to B prime. So this is actually norm of the lambda form. So in that sense, we call this the norm equation. And then, then whenever we have this type of norm equation, A, B, Q, D prime, we can define the idea corresponding to it, which is generated by Q, and lambda is from A and B and Y prime. So lambda over G, if we consider the idea generated by these two elements, Q and lambda over G, then what's the property of this idea? The property of idea is these has four properties. But one of the most, two of the most important properties is this part. So A actually has order 1 or 3. So A cubed is a principal idea, that means A has order 1 or 3, and A is a primitive idea. So what I mean by primitive idea is idea which is not contained in the idea which is generated by the polynomial. Okay? It's a primitive, that's the definition of the primitive idea. So whenever we have a norm equation, then this norm equation has a link to the idea class of A of order 1 or 3. Okay? That's the one thing we want to use it later. Okay, so far we talked about this quadratic case, the hyperelliptic function field case. Now we want to talk about the main part of this cubic function field. The cubic function field is can be written in the form of L is equal to K of Z. Z is the root of the cubic polynomial. Z cubed minus 3qz plus 2a is equal to zero. We can always write down the cubic extension in this way. then we can always assume that this is going to be called the defining polynomial. Defining polynomial for this is in standard form. So what I mean by the standard form is there is no constant polynomial satisfies these two conditions. The geodetic valuation of Q is bigger than or equal to 2. Geodetic valuation of A is bigger than or equal to 3. So, okay, what if both happens? If both happens, then you can always modify this original cubic equation by simple transformation. So both cannot happen. We can always assume that both cannot happen. Then the discriminant of this defining polynomial is given by, you know, usual formula, 4 times A squared. If the coefficient was just A, then this is the standard formula. Then the computation shows that the 1 way, this is a 4 times 27 and 2 cubed minus A squared. Okay, then if the defining polynomial is given, then of course we can write down the polynomial discriminant right away. The discriminant of the field extension can be computed from this delta. So we have a simple characterization, which is by looking at the coefficient of Q and A. So what's happening in terms of periodic valuation or what's happening in the polynomial discriminant, we have a complete information about this discriminant, periodic valuation of the discriminant. So cubic extension case, maximum possible is 2, so 1 or 0. So we have a complete characterization of the discriminant. Okay, signature of the cubic fields. So we want to know how prime and infinity splits in the cubic fields. Well, I forgot to mention in the Schulte theorem case. So the Schulte theorem case, this rank are the same or differ by 1, right? I want to mention one thing. So here they have the rank difference exactly 0 or just 1. And R1 is actually the L rank of the ideal class group of K. Well, this should be the imaginary isomorphism. Yeah, this is the imaginary case. So you always, the imaginary case has one more rank or the same rank as the real case. The rank of the difference equals by, then you may wonder why the rank of difference is happening when they are same, when they differ by 1. It's happening by, because of the unit behavior. I mean, the unit rank 1 has a 0, the other one is 1. Because the prime and infinity splits completely, the other one stays the same. So that makes actually huge difference. That's why it's also involved with the regulator here. So, let me go back. So we were here, cubic fields. Okay, signature of the cubic function field, so it comes in 5 different cases. The first case is a prime and infinity split to the 3 primes. So EF, everything is 1. And another case is split to the 2 primes, but one is ramified, the other one is sort of inert form, the relative degree is 2. The other case is split to 2 prime, one is unramified, the other one is ramified form. And this is the case we have only 1 prime above prime and infinity. So unit rank actually 0 case. And the one main difference between cubic function fields and cubic number fields, in number field case, you never get the unit rank 0. So you can always get unit rank 1 or 2. Because by Dirichlet's unit theorem, we have, you know, R1 plus 2R2 is the extension degree, then the union rank is R1 plus R2 minus 1. So we never actually have the union rank 0 case, but the cubic function field case, we have all these 3 cases. Okay, then the question is it easy to characterize this signature scheme by looking at this defining polynomial? Because for our work, we had to work it out, and it is done independently by Renata and by myself. And my case is covered, it works only for the discriminant is square free. And Renata's work is works for actually all the cases. So actually, explicit signature characterization is depending on what's the degree of these given A and Q, the A and Q, the coefficient of the defining polynomial, and delta polynomial discriminant, depending on the, what's the leading coefficient sign, so what's the leading coefficient of that, what's the degree, we can actually, by looking at it, we can determine when these are happening exactly. So we can read it right away. Okay, now, these, let's say z and z prime, z double prime, and these are three zeros of the defining polynomial, so we adjoin these roots, then these corresponding fields are conjugate fields, then obviously they all have the same discriminant. The extension L over K, then cubic extension could be Galois or could be non-Galois. The Galois case happens exactly when the discriminant is actually square. And of course, the polynomial discriminant is also square. Of course, Galois extension is a cyclic extension, isomorphic to Z-3D. The non-Galois case, the Galois closure of L is given by a composite term of the three fields K, K prime, K double prime, which is actually same as K Y, joined by Y, and Y is the root of the polynomial, root of the equation X squared is the square free part of D. And the extension degree of the capital N over K, small k is our rational function field, is actually 6. Its Galois group is isomorphic to symmetric group, S3, on three letters. The whole picture looks like, Then there is a connection between a cubic extension and quadratic extension, first observed by Hasse for number field K. And we proved that the function field version of Hasse theory is also possible. So the result is we have a hyperelliptic extension, okay, over K. K is a rational field, and we have a hyperelliptic extension of square-free discriminant. Square-free discriminant is also called the fundamental discriminant, and characteristics are least to 5, and R is the 3 rank of the ideal class group of this hyperelliptic extension. Then, this in terms of the signature of this hyperelliptic extension, we have two possible cases. One, K could have a union rank 1. That means there is a union rank 0, only one prime above prime infinity. That means inert or totally ramified. So inert case is a signature 1, 2. Totally ramified is signature 2, 1 case. Then what's happening in here is Hasse is giving us the idea about how many cubic function fields of a given discriminant is possible. So Hasse theorem is, okay, total number of distinct unordered triples of conjugate cubic fields, or you could say total number of non-isomorphic cubic fields of given discriminant D of union rank 1 is exactly this value. Okay, so cubic field case, okay, so we could have union rank 1 or union rank 2. Hasse is talking about union rank 1 or 2 case, the function field version of Hasse. So 3 to the r minus 1 over 2. So if we got everything, then we can say, oh, okay, we got everything. But, if we found the non-isomorphic cubic field, which is less than this value, oh, there are some more. So, okay, next case, then what's happening is when K over K is split completely, that means this hyperelliptic field has a union rank 2 case, then what's happening in that case, we also get the exactly same counting, but the cubic field also has a union rank 2. This is very consistent. So if this is a union rank 1, then corresponding cubic field is also union rank 1, and this hyperelliptic field has a union rank 2, then corresponding cubic field has a union rank 2. Okay, this is a very nice result. At least it gives us the exact counting. So how many, if we want to generate all of them, the first thing to know is we need to know how many should be there, right? So how the counting gives us the answer to the question. So here is the statute for the Hasse theorem. So let me without lots of details. So let me tell. I want to give you the sort of the idea briefly. Let's say A is the maxima unramified abelian extension of K. So we have a rational field, and then we have a capital K. This is a hyperelliptic field. So you are not taking. This is actually subfield of a Hilbert class field. you're not taking from small k, this rational field. You are starting from this hyperelliptic field, capital K. You take it, you take the maxima unramified extension of K, where prime and infinity split completely. Okay? Then this is H, is sitting inside of the Hilbert cross field. Then you can show that H over K is actually Galois. And the Galois, I'm going to tell you what's the Galois group. And as a notation, I'm going to use this notation. CLK denotes the ideal cross group of capital K. If I use this parenthesis, this is defined to be ideal cross group factored by cubic powers of the ideal cross group. Then from the closed cross field theory, you can prove that this Galois group is isomorphic to this CL three part the ideal cross group by the Artin symbol, and they are isomorphic as actually S3G modules. Well, basically, this G must be the same as this G. Okay, then the three rank of this ideal cross group is R. That means this has a Z mod 3Z, R number of copies. Okay, Z mod Z, Z mod 3Z, Z mod 3Z. How many copies are there? R copies will show up. Okay, if we count all the distinct subgroups of index 3, then this is the exact number of distinct subgroups of index 3 of this Galois group. So whenever we have this subgroup from the Galois theory, we can see the fixed subfield, right? Fixed subfield, that which is, let's say, N capital N is a subgroup of G of index 3. The corresponding fixed field of N is actually a Galois extension of K containing capital S. So Galois group, in this case, Galois group is isomorphic to the symmetric group. The whole picture looks like this. Okay, we started from, okay, this is a rational function field. So for a given, we want to generate all the cubic fields. Maybe I'll go one more step. So then now, this Galois group is a symmetric group, order 3. Then S3 has three elements of order 2. All these are conjugates. So we take the fixed fields of M of the element of order 2. Then for each element, we will get the fixed field K1, K2, K3. And all these fields are cubic fields. Okay? So we started from K, and then for a given discriminant D, we have this K, right? Like a K root D form. Then we take this subfield of the Hilbert cross field, okay, exponent of 3, okay, and then we look at its subgroup of index 3. The fixed field of this subgroup is given by M, then M over K is a Galois group with the Galois group is actually a symmetric group on 3 letters, S3. So we can show that these three fields have the same discriminant as this hyperelliptic field K, okay, for a given discriminant D. So these guys have the same discriminant. And also you can prove that they have the signature scheme, the original result. So this is signature 1. So if that was a union rank 1 case, inert or totally ramified case, and also cubic fields has a union rank 1, and the other case, split completed case also, cubic fields also have union rank 2. Can actually prove that. So at least we have exact counting for the union rank 1 or union rank 2. For a Kafka algorithm, then now with this exact Hasse counting, we want to generate all the possible cubic fields. Then we're going to focus on actually one of the cases, union rank 1 case. The union rank 1 case, and also we have two possible cases, inert or totally ramified. But we will focus on actually inert case. I'll tell you the reason why. So from now on, we will assume that 2 is congruent to minus 1 modulo 3 because we want the minus 3 to be non-square in FQ. Then we fix the square-free polynomial D of even degree, and leading coefficient is non-square. So then by dividing d by this non-square value, this d prime has a leading coefficient actually square. So k prime, k prime is adjoined by ky prime, which is from d prime. So this is actually real case because it's even degree and its sign, leading coefficient is actually square. And KKY is an imaginary case of signature 1, 2, because it's even degree and leading coefficient is a non-square. So this serve, we have to start from this Foucault-Key. The reason why is, okay, you see this dual relationship. In a Foucault-Key, basically, we start from this capital D, given discriminant. Okay? In the previous picture, let me show you one thing, okay? So we start from certain discriminant D, okay, that we want to generate all the cubic fields. Then what we're going to do is we're going to consider the counterpart of K, which is, well, we called this as a K prime. If you start from K prime, the other one will be K. The counterpart will be the real hyperelliptic fields. So what we want to do, we want to use infrastructure of the real fields. So we start from the discriminant D, which makes this quadratic extension is imaginary, so in particular, it should be inert. Because if you start from the totally ramified, then you're not going to have this shorter theorem. I mean, your counterpart is still inert. It's still inert. So you do not have this dual real field. But what we need is a real field, because we want to use the infrastructure of the real hyperelliptic field. Okay, now O prime denotes the maximal order K, capital K prime, and for the ideal class, we're going to use this bracket. And if L over K is a cubic extension, and this is, same as previous stuff. Okay, what else? I need to tell you what's the L first. L is all the triples of the cubic fields. The reason why we use triples because these are the ones who are isomorphic to each other. So we want to generate all the cubic fields up to isomorphism. So we're going to consider this triple. And L over K is a cubic extension, and this has a discriminant D. Basically, our goal is we want to generate all these triples of cubic fields. Then for that, what we're going to do, we want to make some connection of this cubic fields to the quadratic ideas, I'm going to call. So these, what's A? This is the ideal classes. A and A bar is conjugate. And A is a primitive idea in O prime. So let me remind you of O prime. O prime was this guy. It's a real case. So we are actually, we start from D, but we are working in a real field, K prime. Okay, D. So A is a primitive idea in O prime, and the, and order of the this LA could be 1 or actually 3. Okay, if we take the cubic power, we get the principal idea. So we're going to consider these two sets. Then we will define some map between these two sets. And the map will be actually surjection. It will not be one-to-one, and we will show that it's a surjection. And then we prove that whenever we have this unordered pair of ideal classes in here, if I look at the pre-images, then pre-images are just cubic fields, triples of cubic fields. But we have these two possible cases. When A is a non-principal idea, then we have three distinct triples. It's a pre-image, we have three elements. And if A is a principal, then we have exactly one pre-image. So we're going to prove this one. So for that, to define this map, we need to investigate some of the properties. So f of z is a defining polynomial, so q and a are polynomials in standard form. And l over k, q cannot be 0, because if q is a 0, then the polynomial discriminant is not square free anymore. It has a square part in it. Because, you know, for q cube, 108 times q cube minus a square, so q cube is a 0, then you have a square part. A cannot be zero because if A is zero, this is not reducible anymore. We have a Z factor. So Q is non-zero, A is non-zero. Then we can, of course, whenever we have a defining polynomial, then we have this Cooper field joined by Z. Then so here we want to build a norm equation, corresponding norm equation. So how we do that? So delta is a discriminant, so this value. Then I is the index of Z. So we know delta is the same as I squared, the index I squared times D, the field discriminant. Then the setup, we set capital B as I over 6. So we actually substitute this value where I is equal to 6 times B. So we put this value to here. We substitute it here. So 6 times B squared. And D is minus 3 D prime. The way we defined D prime was D over minus 3. So we plug in the value here. So we get the minus 108 B squared D prime. So what we do here, this delta, delta are the same value. But they are, we make it equal to each other. So 108, 108, the same value. We cancel out the leftover. Okay, this guy, and minus this guy has to be the same, which is the corresponding norm equation. Then, whenever we have this norm equation from previous observation, we can actually form this generator. We're going to call it quadratic generator, A plus B Y prime, in O prime. Important thing is we are working everything in O prime, the corresponding real hyperelliptic field. Okay. So whenever we have, okay, this is a theorem, so we're not going to talk about lots of technical details, but we will read about all the details. I'll tell you the result only. The pair, whenever we have a pair of the quadratic generators of these triples of cubic fields, then we can always find the corresponding defining polynomial. How do we do that? Once we have a quadratic generator, by taking its trace, we know what's the 2A. By taking its norm, we know what's Q. Okay? So we have this one-to-one correspondence relation. And also another result, okay, if lambda and lambda bar is the quadratic generators of one triple, then what's happening is lambda and lambda bar is never same, and lambda is not a cube in O prime. And lambda is a cube of some primitive idea. And lambda can be written as some primitive idea's cube. Okay? We're going to use this result. Okay, this is a little bit more technical result. So we want to know, okay, we know that whenever we have a quadratic generator, we can always find the corresponding cubic fields. Then now what we want to do is when two quadratic generators correspond to the same triples of the fields. So this theorem is saying that, okay, whenever this is a pair. We have a two pair of quadratic generators corresponds to same triples of cubic fields. Then the condition is the ratio of the quadratic generators lambda one over lambda one bar is the same as lambda two over lambda two bar, or its conjugate up to the cube power of this ratio beta. Beta is some element in K prime. So we're gonna improve this condition a little bit better way later, better form. There's a corollary, this is more important result. There's a corollary, what's happening here is we have two quadratic generators corresponding to the same triple of cubic fields. And, okay, then for each quadratic generator, for lambda 1 is a cube of some primitive idea, A1. Lambda 2 is A2 cube. Then the relation between A1 and A2, they are equivalent to each other. A1 is equivalent to A2, or it's conjugate. So by using this corollary, we can prove that the map between these two sets is actually well-defined. So whenever we have, unordered triple of conjugate cubic fields, which are defined by defining polynomial, for defining polynomial, we have a corresponding quadratic generator. Right? But the quadratic generators, lambda, we always have this A guys, right? It's a primitive idea, A, and it's conjugate, A bar. So on order the pair of ideal classes, such as these conditions. So now if we assume that, okay, there are these there are two unordered pair of the ideal classes corresponds to, it comes from one tuple of cubic, one tuple of cubic fields. Then from the previous corollary, they have to have the same image because the answer will be A1, A1 bar or A2, A2 bar. There's a pair, they actually same. So the corollary shows this BAM is exactly well defined. And also from the previous properties, you can also show that this is surjective all the time. But this is not the injective map, certainly. Okay. Okay, now next goal is we want to prove that premises of pairs, so we have this ideal class, pair of ideal class groups. They're under this map, okay, sometimes it has a premise, has a cardinality 3, or premise exactly 1. So we want to figure out when this is happening. So the conclusion is non-principal case. This ideal class is a non-principal, its premise has a 3. Three elements in it. We have a corresponding three triples of cubic fields. If it's a principal, we have exactly one preimage. So this is a little bit more improvement of the previous result. But let me skip these two technical conditions. By using these two technical results, what you can prove is this is the final theorem. So, okay. I was our target set, or we call it codomain, right? So S is the unordered pair of the ideal classes. So we have two possible cases. One is ordered pair is a principal ideal class, or it's non-principal ideal class. So this is pair of ideal classes of order 3, that means a non-principal case. If it's a principal case, then it's a premise has exactly one triple of fields. So by looking at these previous technical conditions, we can actually prove that. And if S is the ordered pair is a non-principal case, we can prove that the premise has a 3 distinct triples. So the counting, okay, then how does the counting work out? Okay, R prime is the 3 rank of the ideal class group of capital K prime. Then okay, this ideal class group has a 3 to the R prime number of elements. Okay, now I want to count all the non-conjugate ideal class, non-principal ideal classes will be 3 to the R prime minus 1. Now if I want to count non-conjugate, was on a pair of the conjugate, the conjugate ideal classes are paired, so we divide by 2. So these are the total number of unordered pair of conjugate classes of order 3. Exactly order 3. Then for each case, whenever we have this non-principal ideal class, we have a preimage, 3 triples of preimage. So we multiply by 3 of this value. That's the corresponding preimages. And on the other hand, if S is a principal ideal class and preimage has exactly 1 preimage, so we have exactly 1 more, that's it. If we calculate this, then we get this value. So now we want to compare this with Hasse counting, because this is this idea previously, you know, we were trying to find the link between cubic fields with this quadratic generators of real fields. Then that we need to make sure we get the exact counting. So what's happening here is if K is escalatory field, that means if they differ, their rank difference is exactly 1, then this 3 to the R prime plus 1 minus 1 over 2 is exactly the same as the 3 to the R minus 1 over 2. So we get everything, and that the counting exactly matches. That's nice case. But if not, the non-escalatory, R is equal to R prime case, then from the previous construction, we have additional fields, okay? So we are supposed to get exactly 3 to the R minus 1 over 2, but we get the additional fields constructed, 3 to the R. So we need to, after producing everything, we need to get rid of these 3 to the R number of the fields. So one way we could do that is by checking how prime and ideal split in each field, we can actually sort out all the non-isomorphic cubic cells because we have a redundancy. Okay, from the previous these constructions, if we go through it, then we can actually prove that this cubic field in L with the collection of all the cubic fields has a signature 1112. This is the union rank 1 case. One is unramified, the other one is a syrup inert form, unramified, but F is a 2. But another signature scheme, we could get a 3 and 1. And we didn't want to have this case. It was, in the beginning, we are a little bit, we are curious why we are having this additional case. Then after a discussion, we realized the reason why is why the Hasse counting and this one is not exactly matched. Because here, okay, in our construction, what we do is we looked at this relation only. Okay, but in Hasse counting, very important thing is this M is sitting inside of the Hilbert class field. So prime and infinity has to split in here. This Hilbert class, this K, M, these guys are sitting inside of the Hilbert class field. The prime and infinity at here splits completely all the way. So we didn't take care of that part in our Kottke construction. That's why we got the additional signature. So what we have to do is we have to figure out when exactly this extension splits completely at prime and infinity. That part we have to take care of that. That's why we got the additional signature. We didn't want it to get, oops, it was not the counting. Okay, so now we can actually limit it. Then we need to figure out what's the exact if and only if condition. So we can prove that that's happening exactly when 3 does not divide the degree A and sine A actually cube in FQ square. I forgot the square there, Q square. So we can eliminate this case by adding this condition only in our case. So we can, our construction methods can produce these guys only. So we need to add this condition. Okay, Kottke algorithm's goal, I'll just to deliver the idea to wrap up my talk. We want to, you don't need to look at the number, final numbers. I have additional stuff I wasn't planning to talk about, so don't worry about it. So this is a technical condition. We want to find the algorithm for construction, all the defining polynomial. So to find this cubic field, it's enough to find this defining polynomial, which is in the preimage of S. Whenever we have this ordered pair of the ideal classes, we want to find the preimage values. So for that, there is a technical condition, small generator. Small generator of the principal idea is defined to be a sum generator with a degree condition. It is bounded by 3 times genus plus 1. And, well, let me skip this one. So idea of the Kottke algorithm, okay, for each pair, we want to compute the generators of ideas. We want to compute all the generators of ideas, which is equivalent to A or A bar. If A is a non-principle, we need to produce 3 triples of fields, right? And if A is a principle, then we need to find 1 triple of fields. We want to do this computationally effectively. And if A is a non-principle, what we're going to do is we're going to generate 3 distinct reduced ideas equivalent to A, such that each of these ideas has a small generator. And such a small generator, each such a generator produces a distinct triple. For each ideal class, we need to find 3 distinct reduced ideas, and for each reduced idea, we have a small generator that will give us the answer for the cubic field. If it's a principal case, we're going to find one reduced idea equivalent to A with a small generator. In that case, we will have a unique triple. Okay. So reduced, I didn't tell you what the reduced. So reduced idea, what I mean by reduced idea is a primitive idea with a degree of the norm is bounded by its genus. we put this restriction. The number of the reduced idea in each idea class is actually finite. The signature scheme 2-1, which is an inert case, we have a reduced idea class. In each idea class, we have exactly one reduced ideas. But signature scheme 1-2, which is, this is a ramified case, sorry. This is the inert case. L is less than or equal to 1, 0 or 1. But for real hyperelliptic fields, one of the benefits for using, real hyperelliptic fields, we have plenty of reduced ideas, which is approximately the regulator. Regulator is the degree of the absolute value of the degree of the fundamental unit. And, okay, Andrea Stein, one of the organizers of this conference, to show that Daniel Chang's infrastructure idea for the real number field can be also applied to the function field case. And that the set of the reduced ideas can be found by the baby set and giant set. Okay, so they are experts here. Well, conclusion. We actually found the efficient method for generating non-conjugate cubic fields of a given square free discriminant with unit rank 1. More exactly speaking, when the given discriminant's degree is even and the sign is non-square case. The signature 1-2 case, we can generate all these cubic fields of that given discriminant D. Then for this counting, the total number of cubic fields was given by 3 to the L minus 1 over 2. And this L was the 3 rank of this hyperelliptic field, ideal class group of the hyperelliptic field. So to generate that example, so we need a good example of the quadratic fields with high 3 rank. So in another paper with Renata and Mark Bauer and Michael Jacobson, we actually worked on the construction of the hyperelliptic function fields with whose Jacobian wider class group has a high L rank. In that paper, L doesn't have to be exactly 3, but we emphasize the 3 a lot because it's connected with this Kopke work. So we have actually lots of examples. We produced lots of examples. A future work implementation is being done, so it's being done by our Michael Jacobson, and hopefully it will be done soon. And construction of cubic fields, of course, there are leftover works. We didn't cover every case. Union rank 2 case, certainly we haven't complete yet in our paper, but it can be possibly done. So we have intuition that it could be done because we made a detour going to this D prime, and then we used this infrastructure of the real fields. So but from the beginning, we have already real fields, so maybe it could be done, but we're not completely 100% sure yet. We have just feeling that we can make it work. I hope so. But the union rank 1 case is still one missing case is, it's the next paper, next page, degree D is even case. So this one, we have no idea because even case, we do not have a Hasse counting even. And the construction of cubic fields of union rank 0 with a given discriminant, that one, we don't even have a count. Let me stop here. Thank you.